Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to a loaded week of Sabres Live. We have been off for a while. Marty Baron is working on his LinkedIn or LinkedIn profile today. Getting back on the course. How are you, Marty?
I'm doing great. Yes, I am at River Oaks on Grand Island. It is the Rick Martin Memorial Golf Tournament. You know, the Sabres Foundation are big with that. So anyway, so the carts are just taking off right now. I'll catch up after the show. But I haven't played golf since the last golf tournament that I was in, which was maybe the Sabres alumni event that I won, by the way, with Darren Pupo last year. You know, we had a fantastic group. So this morning, I probably should check my golf bag, right? It's in the garage. So I'm looking for, like, oh, I've got enough golf balls. I got golf tees. I got my clubs. Everything's good. Can't find my golf shoes. Cannot find them anywhere. I'm like, did I throw them out or whatever? So Duffer, I stopped and got myself some brand new kicks.
Nice.
New Balance. And the reason why I like them a lot, but I don't know if you watch TV on mute, but there's that New Balance commercial with Coco Gauff and Shohei Ohtani and all of them, right?
Yes.
That
so I love
like,
it. I love
the commercial. So that sold me. I saw the New Balance shoes and I thought of the, hey, 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 dun, dun, dun. I'm like, that's going to be good for me today. So that's what marketing does for you. You see a commercial enough and you like it enough, you're buying their stuff.
And you know what 4 days off between shows usually means? Oh, I should have asked that. So allow me to say this. What is more likely? Four straight championships for the Bandits or three straight for the Florida Panthers?
Oh, man.
Good question, huh?
Four straight. It's a great question. I want to say four straight for the Bandits just because that's local and I want the Bandits to win again. Yeah. And look, the Florida Panthers are in the Atlantic Division. They are, you know, in the Eastern Conference competing with the Buffalo Sabres. I kind of want to say slow down, Florida. But look, it's a hard question. Why? Because they still have Sergei Bobrovsky one more year. They still have Paul Maurice behind that bench. They have a great defense. With or without Aaron Ekblad, they're going to be set on defense with Jones and Forsling and everybody that's back there. Their forwards group. Look, I think Sam Bennett stays. I don't know on Brent Marchand. I don't know if he's been giving out mixed messages, right? Like, he's been all over social media responding to a lot of people. He was talking about how maybe the Leafs should make an offer to him. I'm thinking, I hope that doesn't happen. But anyway, there's been a lot going on. So I think the Florida Panthers have a really good team, but I'm going to say the Bandits four-peat is more likely.
So the Sabres Live Research Department had been on a little bit of a hiatus as well, post Stanley Cup final, but it got back in earnest this morning. Mm-hmm. The Florida Panthers forwards did something that has been done only once by a cup-winning team.
Okay.
Since the 1967-68 expansion. If you look at the Panthers' top scorers this postseason, the top nine of them were forwards. No defense. Which is remarkable when you think about how championship teams are constructed. Mm-hmm. And they always have one guy from the blue line that is sprinkled into your top five or six. Yep. And you can go through every team and imagine. But the crazy part is the Panthers have Ekblad and Jones. Yeah. And so they had nine forwards atop their scoring list, ranging from 23 points down to 15 points before you finally get into the blue line court. Can you name the one other team that had nine forwards before a defenseman emerged on their scoring list. And I will give you a hint. It's within the last 15 years.
Okay, so we're 2025. So since 2010,
well, that would be 16.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I am going to say, I'm going to say the Los Angeles Kings.
You're so close. I could have spoiled it by saying there was a common denominator among the forwards.
The Boston Bruins.
The Boston
because of
Bruins
Brett Marchand. Okay.
In 2011.
Yeah.
Can you name the Bruins' six defensemen?
From that year?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And let me preface this and stall for you that I am terrible at spontaneous trivia like this. And yeah. I, upon writing the names down, was like, I'm glad I'm asking the question and not
answering. Okay. This is a great question. I think Zdeno Chara, everybody should get him.
He was not their leading point getter, though, among defensemen.
He was not their leading point getter in 2011.
Among defensemen.
Andrew Ferentz was there.
Andrew Ferentz, you're two for two, buddy.
Okay, Andrew Ferentz was there.
Chara's partner.
It's Chara's partner, Tori Krug.
No, way before him. German.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it was, Seidenberg.
Seidenberg, yes, that's three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, the T-Blade, the Jochen Hesch T-Blade guy. Like, mm-hmm. He used to make a lot of noise with his skates. So, okay, after that, I mean, seriously, I have no idea.
One was a long-time Leaf.
A long-time Leaf. On defense.
And his brother had the cup winner in 06.
Okay, so Caberly, Thomas Caberly.
Yes.
Because Francisco Caberly was the one with Carolina.
So we have two more.
Any hints?
One felled Thomas Vanek the year prior in the playoffs.
He failed?
Felled, as in took him out.
Yeah, I don't remember that because that was 2010.
Johnny Boychuk. Jeff is correct on that one.
Yeah, okay.
And the other one, his first name is Adam.
Adam. Oh, geez, I can see him. Blonde guy, right?
Not that I know of.
No? Oh, maybe he doesn't have hair.
I think he has hair.
Okay. I was going to say Andrew
McQuaid.
Adam McQuaid. That's who I was thinking about.
And,
yes, okay.
And our good friend, the sheriff, Shane Knighty, sprinkled himself in for three games during that playoff
run. I mean, seriously, this was the group of defensemen for the Boston Bruins in 2011.
Yeah.
And you think of it, and again, you say, okay, well, Zdeno Chara was in the top point getter for that group. Like, mm-hmm. You need a group of six that's going to play well, right? Like, Florida, yep. I had a group of six. Like, Mikkola got involved in it, and they had the depth playing a big part of their success. Who was it that all season long, Washington Capitals, look mm-hmm. at their group of six all season long. And then it got
healthy.
Hurt in the playoffs a little bit,
right.
And it affected their playoffs. And it's going to go back to this week, right? We're going into the draft. We're going into free agency. How can you build a group of six on the back end that you right. say for the Sabres, that you say, hey, you know what? Like, anybody in the six can have an aspect, can have a sequence of 10 games, 12 games where they're the group you're relying upon. That's the key here. That's what Florida did this year. Mm-hmm. Even if they added Jones, that's what they'll do next year again because they're good. That's what, I mean, go back to the Chicago Blackhawks when mm-hmm. they won their cups, right? Their group of defense, the Pittsburgh Penguins when they won their cup,
right.
Their group of defense, that's what it is.
But there's two sides to this coin, and that's why this unexpected research was fascinating to me because as much as we're now looking, because we just talked about the Boston Bruins group of six, my opinion, this is less about the defense and more about, well, how do you, because what has everyone talked about with the Panthers since they won? Oh, their depth up front. Yes, they had nine scoring forwards before a defenseman even hit the mark. Now, that is preposterous to think that that could happen in Buffalo when they make the playoffs because Rasmus Dahlin is going to be in the top
the
nine in scoring,
yes.
right?
Should be. I mean, geez, if he's not, then good on everybody.
Then good on, then you have constructed with the depth that you always hoped for, and you've got responsibility in all areas, and on it goes. So again, there's no one way to do this, but you've just set it up and it's on the minds of everybody. What do you want from this week? What do you want as a like Sabres, first and foremost, what do you want to see from the Sabres this week? Is it dealing with all the restricted free agents? Is it focusing on another high draft pick? Is it making a bunch of trades? Like, again, Marty, the most commonly used phrase, post-Stanley Cup winner, for as long as I can remember. Oh, it's a copycat league. Well, guess what? It's copycats now. The Panthers have won it 2 years in a row.
Yeah, well, but not only that, Duffer, look, copycats, okay, three top line. What did Tampa add to their team to win a Stanley Cup? They added Barkley Goodrow, Blake Coleman, Yanni Gord, a third line that was...
And what did they try to do this year to reignite it?
Bring back Bjorkstrand
and Gord.
Same thing.
Yep.
But look at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh with Nick Bonino, Carl Hagelin, Phil Kessel, a third line. Like, the teams that... okay. And I was talking to Craig Button on Friday, and, you know, we're doing NHL radio, and I mentioned the third line and how the mold up front has not changed. It's just that sometimes we forget about it, and then a team like Florida comes in and does it. Tampa did it. Pittsburgh did it. The LA Kings, when they decided, we got to add Mike Richards and Jeff Carter and Jared
Stoll. Look at their balance. Now, granted, it was different. It was a defensive era, and there were so...
But still.
Right,
and Craig Button is like, go back to the Montreal Canadiens of the 70s and the New York Islanders of the 80s and the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah, they had Gretzky and Curry and Messier, but their depth was where... You know, you win five cups out of 7 years or whatever. Yeah. So that's the template. I feel like the Sabres up front, they could go off that template, because now you've got, you know, well, let's see what happens with McLeod and his contract, but McLeod and Zucker, and you've Tuck, and you have Paterka, and you have Thompson, and you have a group of nine. So the rumor mill says the Sabres may be looking at adding two top six forward. I think two top six forward is a little bit too much, right? I think
if you're trading Paterka, which is completely wide open, wild speculation. But it would be easier to imagine bringing in two top six forwards if you traded one of them out.
Well, absolutely. Or if you don't think that Yuri Kulik is going to be a top six guy, and then you say we need a center and we need a winger, right, to be in the top. But then where does that leave Yuri in the big scheme of things? But for me, it would be like, okay, I know the wild speculations and Bo Byram's contract scenario, but focus on the blue line. That is the number one thing. Because again, look at the Florida Panthers. Look at when the Tampa Bay Lightning won with Hedman and Sergachev and McDonough and Chernak and whatnot. Like, it's about the blue line that gives you stability. And the Sabres blue line right now gives you instability, because there's been so many different pairings, different players playing top four, bottom, whatnot. There is rumors about what is going to happen with Matthias Samuelsson. We'll see what happens there. But I mean, I think the focus is on the blue line. How do you make that blue line your stability? And then everything else hopefully falls into place.
It has to be all areas. Let's be honest about that. And Trevor Zegras is on the mind of Elliot Friedman today, which means, therefore, he is now on the minds of every hockey fan and other quote-unquote insiders. Elliot does fit that profile very well. He has just posted that he's hearing Trevor Zegras will be dealt to Philadelphia. This is not surprising, obviously, based on the fact that it's been at least 2 years that Zegras' name has been in the trade cycle.
Duffer, would you have thought Zegras or Gibson would have been traded first?
Oh, probably Zegras, because I've not felt like Gibson had typically put himself in a position to make the acquiring team feel 100% confident that they're getting full max value out of John Gibson. Now, he kind of proved people wrong again this year, but by the reports, the asking price got a little too high for John from Pat Verbeek's standpoint. So he remains a tradable commodity potentially here in a summer where there are not many unrestricted free agent goalies. So this could be a real thing. But what's fascinating here is the Ducks, if they do in fact complete this trade, Zegras to Philadelphia, before knowing all the parameters and parts involved, but knowing the GM particularly well in Philadelphia, Marty, what do you think about this? And what do you think it could look like the other way? I remember these two teams have had a pretty substantial trade already in their history.
Yes, that was,
McGrory for Drysdale, right?
Drysdale, yeah. So you're looking at it. But, okay, so here's the thing. Danny Briere is saying, how can I get talent on my team? How can I get a roster built, right? We have a new coach now in Rick Tocchet. He's going to, you know, maybe you get it. They drafted Michkov, right? Matvey Michkov. It was a, hey, we don't know what that's going to be like, but he's got a ton of talent. Let's bring talent in. Travis Konechny is a good player. They've got some good players. They're rebuilding. I think for me, if you're the Sabres and you see the Flyers acquiring a Zegras, you're like, eh. I mean, if it works, this is going to be dangerous. This right. is going to be dangerous because the Flyers are going to be a good team. But I think there's still a lot of work to be done in Philadelphia. But if you're the Flyers fan right now and you're saying, hey, we got Zegras, and then you put him with all the forwards, depth, and talent that you have, a new coach, a new attitude, you're fixing your – again, it comes down to fixing your goaltending in Philadelphia. They have Sammy
I would say the blue line first.
I mean, they get Ristolainen back probably
this year.
He's
hurt right now, though. He's going to be out while he recovers from surgery. I mean, I don't think Drysdale's lived up to expectations yet. Granted, he's only 23. But you have Sanheim and – you know, Cam York would also fall into that category of not like the potential is there, but if they went out and got Zegras, like how much does this change how they look at the top of the draft? I don't know.
I don't think it changes everything yet. I think that you acquire Zegras, you go and you do your thing at the draft. They got, the Flyers have a ton of picks, right? And I mean, that's the thing. Like they can go in and, but July 1st may change things a little bit. All of a sudden, you know, if you're competing, if Sabres are competing for some depth on defense, a right shot defenseman, all of a sudden the Flyers are like, hey, we're in the defense sweepstake as well. We're not going to wait a year from now. We're going to do it now. It affects the domino effect down the road. So, I mean, maybe, okay, because it's wild speculation week, let's throw a wild speculation. Why not call the Flyers right now and say, I got a defenseman for you. His name is Matthias Samuelsson. Mm-hmm. There's a connection with Philly. There's a connection with the organization. You know, let's get assets so you can turn around, turn those assets into maybe another piece on the back end. Maybe that's something that could be done.
Well, that was going to fall under the, again, coming out of the hiatus we were on. But throwing all of this kind of stuff under the rumors, reports, and ridiculousness. Yes, ridiculousness. I think that's
ridiculousness.
The right word.
Yeah, that's good. I dropped my cap. I capped my water bottle. Got to keep that on.
Can't it's a new era.
Oh, great plug for the hat, by the way. Nice PGA hats.
It is a nice cap.
It is very nice cap.
If you were Tommy Fleetwood, you would just pull it down a little further.
Happened
to him yesterday.
I couldn't even decide on a best of the weekend, by the way, and we'll do that at the end of the show. I had two worst of the weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it comes down to it, two devastating moments in the weekend happened, and they both happened yesterday.
Right. So throwing it under the banner that we just tried to articulate, Matthias Samuelsson.
Yes.
How do you view his place with the Sabres, his name across the league from a rumor standpoint, more likelihood of a trade as opposed to a buyout or either, in your opinion? Like what now that his name is seemingly again, it's based on the week that we are in. What are you thinking about Matthias Samuelsson right now?
I think a buyout is pretty cheap. Because he's not 27 and older. So 26 and under buyout is only one third. You know, it would be like $700,000 a year for the next 10, right? He's got 5 years left and whatever. So it would be double it. And look, there is some, you know, rumors about considering a trade or a buyout. I think basically I would look at a trade as the number one thing. But what are you going to get? There's a lot of term left. There's a lot of money left. Matthias has been injured. It's not just the on-ice performance. He's been better in the last 20 games of the season, 30 games of the season, but it doesn't – there's always that question mark. Can he stay healthy for the whole season? Can he play physical at a high level without getting hurt? There's a lot of that. So I think teams that would take a flyer on him would say, okay, we can't give much. There's a big contract. We're doing you a favor. I think that is a very likely – situation that the Sabres, depending on what happened with Bo Byram too, but what if you started again with, you have Dahlin, you have Power, you have Clifton, you have Bernard Docker, Bryson's probably your seven, and that's it, right? Like Byram may be gone, Samuelson may be gone. You have two spots. You can significantly change your blue line by adding two defensemen, the right ones. But then all of a sudden you have Dahlin with somebody, Power with somebody, Clifton, Bernard Docker, boom, there's your top six, right? I think that to me would be where I would go. And it's Matthias Samuelson's a great guy. Everybody loves him. And when he played at his best, shot blocking, physical, everything, I think the injuries have taken a toll. Look, I mean, you know, you get hurt a few times and then all of a sudden, you know, every time you get hit with a puck or hit with a body, you're sore, it hurts. It's like, it's different. I think we're not going to get the best out of Matthias Samuelson that we expected to, because there's now too many miles and broken miles on the body that have affected it.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, reporting that the Zegras deal, is it done? Producer Jeff, or speculated?
Well, we have it
still
on the ticker. Has been traded to the Flyers. So that's where we're going with. It is done.
Friedman says it, yes. So it still falls under the category of report. But he's saying that it's Ryan Poehling, a 45th this year, which is a second rounder, and a fourth round next year. So
that's the market for Trevor Zegras.
That doesn't sound like very much.
It's not
In fact, I would, under my terms, like see my off-air because we didn't have a show, see my off-air commentary over the past week about what Seattle paid for Mason Marchment, which was nothing. This, to me, is nothing in return for the Ducks. This is
Ryan Poehling is not a player that...
He's had moments, and I hope for his sake that he can come back the way he started his career with a hat trick on Hockey Night in Canada. But still, you know what I mean?
And he's scored then he's going to shoot out too, which we made at four goals.
It was insane. Anyway,
Ryan Poehling, right? I think that's what it was. But
this is just not, for whatever people thought of Trevor Zegras at his height, which again was obviously not for a long period of time. He's still incredibly young. Like this is not much. But the risk reward is pretty high for Philadelphia, isn't it? Pretty great.
It's very high. It's a gamble, but at the same time, it's a gamble that didn't really cost you much.
Right.
Ryan Poehling at second and fourth. Like, come on.
They can win this. Like this could be a big win for Philadelphia. Could be.
I always say, who wins the trade? The team that gets the better player. Long term, sometimes it changes, right? But I mean, the Flyers got the better player. The Flyers got Trevor Zegras, and they didn't give up much. You mentioned Mason Marchment going to Seattle from Dallas. Dallas was in a tough spot. Dallas needed to shed some salary, and, you know, Mason Marchment had a 10-team no-trade list. I know a lot of fans in Buffalo are like, we needed a guy like Mason Marchment, plays the game hard. You know, I get it, but most likely the Sabres were on that 10-team no-trade list, so a third and a fourth. Jason Bottrell, new GM of the Seattle Kraken, gives up a third and a fourth to acquire Mason Marchment. It's nothing. It's these draft picks. That's why this draft coming up, like for years, it's prospect. It's, hey, listen, we drafted Matt Savoy. Well, you traded Matt Savoy, which was great. Mm-hmm. You got Ryan McLeod out of it, and that was a good trade. Mm-hmm. Cooley, Ken, Roseanne, and Austin, and Wahlberg, and this and that. You've got so many prospects, so many young players. What did that amount to, right? So trading draft picks, a third, a fourth, a second, a first, trade a first, you know, trade a ninth overall. It's just like, can you make a good deal? Now, if it's not a good deal, don't do it. Don't do it just for the sake of doing it. But if it's a good deal, then make it happen, because that's where the Sabres are at right now. That's why the blue line is so important. That's why I think the focus is there, because you're at a point now with Lindy Ruff, Kevin Adams, you know, the organization saying, this is our opportunity now. Let's go and get it done, and we have to be aggressive.
It was a pretty good week for Seattle and Botterill.
Yeah.
Based on the fact they were able to move someone who has, I think it's fair to say, annually underachieved in Andrei Burakovsky. Look, he's won a couple of cups. Incredibly liked as a teammate, but
incredibly liked on this show for a great yeah. comment.
We have Belmar. Some banners hung for some players in our studio, and there is a Burakovsky banner.
18 fairway, bro. It's right there. I see it at River Oaks. It's right there.
Yes, that's where you're going, and that's where you are. I love it. But this just popped into my head for the first time.
Oh,
because he being a Sabres defenseman, is a Western guy, and he's constantly mentioned. Vancouver would probably like him. Does Seattle have a need for Bo Byram? And if so, what would that trade look like?
Yeah, I mean, the Sabres don't need for a player like Bo Byram. Okay, if you trade Matthias Samuelsson and you get draft picks and prospects in return, and you want to turn those draft picks and prospects into something else, that's fine. Bo Byram, there's no way you're trading Bo Byram for draft pick and prospects.
Right.
You want legitimate players that are going to come in and play a part on your team. So, I mean, could it be a Jordan Eberle? The UFA in a year from now, the Seattle Kraken are going to have to make a decision.
He's not. They're not trading their captain when their captain is the biggest fan of the new coach, Lane Lambert.
Yes.
So that's not happening.
Okay. Well, that's not going to be Matty Berniers.
Well, that's my point. Is if you?
But I'm talking like this. The player only players.
That's like, I don't see them as a fit at all. But you know. That's
would Jaden Schwartz be a guy, right? That you're like saying, okay, maybe you trade him or McCann or whatever.
You're not trading Bo Byram for a pending UFA, right? You're not. That's not good.
Yeah, you'd have to have maybe a contract in place after July 1.
Yeah,
saying that could be the way, but why? No, I don't see.
Shane Wright is the only proper answer there, and that's not likely to happen because they want to build around Beniers and Wright.
I don't know that I would do Shane Wright, to be honest with you. I don't see Shane Wright fitting in the top six, and I don't need a bottom six guy in a trade for Bo Byram, so I'm not going for Shane Wright. I don't see that fit there.
You might want to revisit his point totals over the last 50 games last year.
I get it, but I just. You know, yeah, okay, you gave me a good look last year. I need to see it more, and that's fine. Vancouver would be a good fit, but now what does Vancouver have to offer?
They have one guy, Elias Pettersson.
That's it. And now are the Sabres willing to say, we're going to take in Pettersson? I'm going to say the baggage, but I don't know the guy. I don't know but there's not been a lot of good things with Elias Pettersson, and the production hasn't matched the $11 million or whatnot. So are you all of a sudden doing that?
There's a few ways to look at that. He's a survivor. JT Miller, see ya. Rick Tocchet, see ya.
Yeah.
Elias Pettersson's still there. Gotta be a reason.
Well, it's gotta be a reason because the organization has tried maybe and it hasn't been able to get the return they want. Like, you're trading Elias Pettersson. You're not trading him for, you know, just, you know, some peanuts and a cold water bottle on a hot day. Like, you're trying to get something better, and maybe that hasn't happened. Look, Vancouver, there's only one guy. Seattle's maybe not a fit. I feel that you know, everybody that's speculating about Bo Byram is saying, oh, Bo Byram wants to go somewhere else. Okay, well, tell me where and what the return would be. Because right now, speculations, again, that to me sounds like it's agent talk. Like my client wants to go somewhere else. It's agent trying to build a case, build a market. But tell me what team is taking Bo Byram, giving him $8.5 million in return, trading a big piece, because that's what the Sabres would want in that return.
Right. But it's also unreal. Well, yeah, I mean, if it was Elias Pettersson, it becomes a massive trade with a lot of pieces. You're not going from Byram for Mittelstadt to Byram for Elias Pettersson. That's not happening. So.
No, but again, would I care if you traded a prospect, a high pick, if you made the trade? If you think that Elias Pettersson playing center on the second line, maybe you got Norris and then you got Pettersson, or you move him to the wing, whatever. If you think you're getting 100 points out of him, and maybe you're getting him to get to 40 goals and Tage Thompson to 50, like you get 90 goals between those two, like, okay, I'll do it. But does that fix the blue line? Does that fix the other side of the you know, things? No, it doesn't.
We were hoping for a mistake-free Monday, but we're already 6 minutes past the first break. So in honor of Howard Simon, you're on the golf course, and the Sabres and you can be on the golf course at Country Club of Buffalo. It is September 15th, and we are looking forward to seeing you at the Sabres Foundation Golf Tournament. Join up in a foursome with Sabres player, alumni, personality. All you got to do is go to sabres.com/golf to learn more. We're getting real close to best and worst of the weekend. Stay with us.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resort.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay, it's time for a break. Sorry, just kidding. We got a few minutes to play with here before we slow it down once again. Marty, what do you make? I mean, I guess we should quickly tell people there's Trevor Zegras news on this day. He's been dealt to Philadelphia for Ryan Poehling, a second, and a fourth. Beyond that, what have we not gotten into yet as it pertains to the Sabres and this week ahead, and, you know, what you want, what you think the fans want, what you're hearing that the fans want?
Okay. So the one thing I don't think we will talk about until, when do we have Chris Baker on Wednesday? Mm-hmm. We probably won't talk about prospects until Wednesday with Chris Baker, because really, like,
that's tomorrow, tomorrow we hear from Kevin Adams, Jerry Fortin ahead of the draft. So.
Yeah, but again, like for me, it's more about, okay, what else is going on around the team, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure they'll talk about their needs and their strategy and what they're looking at the draft. And, you know, but I'm not worried about it. I don't think fans are worried about it. Fans are looking at next year wanting to play, you know, hockey in game 83. You got 82 games of regular season. How do you play game 83? You know, I said it last month of the season. How do you get better game one of the 25-26 season? Mm-hmm. And that's still the goal right now. How do you get better for game one? That's what I'm looking at. So, yeah, okay, I'm not going to talk prospect until we talk to Chris Baker about it on Wednesday, just because I don't – at nine, whatever. Like, could be a good player, could be a great player. It's not going to be somebody that's going to make your roster better game one of the 25-26 season. That's just the way I look at it. I'm not going to talk about that. So I think there's going to be plenty of other things to talk about. I think there's going to be plenty of rumors that we're going to be chasing. Teams, this is weird because right now teams would be traveling to Los Angeles to be, you know, setting up shop and their meetings, whatnot. It's not happening. How does the week plays out when teams are not traveling and not in one location? Right?
Well, we've seen more deals already this week than in some past with the Zegras deal. So thank you, Anaheim and Philly, for reminding us that you don't need to be in the same room to constitute a deal.
And I was definitely not expecting that. I was definitely not expecting that. I thought it may be closer to the draft. Whatnot. The Panthers just had their Stanley Cup parade yesterday. Like the business of the league has been really good when you look at trades and players that have signed contracts and whatnot. Like Matt Duchene signs a contract with Dallas. Dallas has to make some moves. Are we going to see some Jason Robertson trade this week? How does that affect the landscape? Is he going out east? Is he staying west? There's so much to talk about here when you just go through rumors by rumors and what's happening around the league and including the Sabres. So there's a ton. I mean, there's definitely some people that are going to be looking at prospects and have done their homework on prospects, and that's great. I'll wait until later in the week to do that.
What did you make of the Jonathan Toews bonus-laden signing in Winnipeg?
I think there was only one place that it made sense for Jonathan Toews to go.
So why do they have to give him so much in the way of easily attainable bonuses?
I have no idea why. $7 million?
Yeah.
Like a $2 million base? I thought give him $1 million base and give him a $2 or $3 million in bonuses. Get it to four, right? Like maybe. But I am so...
Look, not exactly a hometown discount.
No, and it may not affect them this year, because if he reaches like all of his bonuses and it goes over the cap, then it's cap penalties for the year after. So in 2 years from now, in 2 years from now the cap will be $100 million. So maybe Kevin Cheveldayoff is saying, "I don't care. I just want to be right by him." But now people are saying Jonathan Toews is going to Winnipeg to be their second line center. Whoa! Like, the guy hasn't played in the last 2 years. And the 2 years prior to that, he wasn't healthy and had, you know, what, like 31 points and 37 points in the season. Mm. His last full season healthy was the 19-20 season that was cut short by the pandemic. Yeah. He had 60 points in 70 games. Since then, he hasn't really played healthy or at a high level. That's a long time to have been really not in. So, do I think it makes sense? Yes. It makes sense if he's a third line center. You elevate Adam Lowry.
But he's hurt. Lowry starts hurt. So
Lowry starts hurt, yes. But you're still a good team, right? Like, you're still got Hellebuck and you still have a lot of players. You're going to be fine. I think you're going to be in the mix. You don't have to, like Florida, you don't have to finish first in the conference. You don't have to finish first in the division. Just make the playoffs. But I think it starts with Toews as a third line center. Maybe acquire a second line center because Lowry's not there. But I don't pump the brakes on Jonathan Toews being your second line center. Like, that's not the way I see this.
Are the Hawks any better after retaining Donato and acquiring Burakovsky?
No. I don't see the Hawks being better right now. Now, they could make a move. They could look at trades. They could look at offer sheet. They could look at a lot of things. It's a new coach. Jeff Laschel comes in. I think there's still a lot of work to be done in Chicago. I don't see them being better by acquiring Burakovsky and re-signing Ryan Donato. Donato had a great year, but show me if he can match that again this year.
But Donato ended up not getting anywhere near the money that some people would have expected after a 30-goal season. And I think it's fair to say that Matt Duchene took a huge discount to stay in Dallas. I think even, you know, the lesser talked about deal in Ottawa, because we compare it to the much talked about Cousins for Norris deal. But when they acquired Zetterlund, like, I think that's I like Zetterlund in Ottawa. And I think he took a pretty fair contract here too, you know, from a Senator's standpoint. So I don't know. I mean, kidding about the Toews bonus structure aside, and it's really doesn't matter. Do you not feel like some guys are taking a little less right now?
I think it's weird. Like, you know, when we talked with Shayna Goldman, she was like, the middle class is going to get paid, right? The top guys are going to get paid. Everybody's going to slide up the pay scale. I think what a lot of players are doing right now is they're taking 3-4 long-term deals at lesser money, just guaranteeing themselves, like, look, I got my contract. I got my money. I'm all set. Depth player, right? When you look at Fabian Zetterlund, he's a depth guy, right? He's going to play maybe third line, probably fourth line. He's going in. Is it a good signing? Is it a good player? Yes. Mm-hmm. Does it move the Ottawa Senators so much more forward? I don't think so. I think Ottawa is trying to continue to build with the top guys that they had. But Zetterlin is fine. Duchene is an interesting one for me because at first look, I thought it's a lot of money for Matt Duchene when your cap space is very, very limited. But then you're right. Leading scorer keeps maybe he took a discount, but he took it over more years than maybe he would have otherwise. Agreed. So that he gets paid. Right. And that's the Brad Marchand thing. Everybody's saying Marchand's going to get $8 million. Whoa. If you give him 2 years at eight, I get it. 3 years at eight, it's a little rich. But 4 years at eight, no way. I think if it's 4 years, you probably say, I'll give you the $24 million, but I'll give it to you over 4 years, so that's six a year. Or you can take two at eight, so that's 16. Like, you can decide what you want. Two at eight or four at 24.
Have you spent any time through a Sabres lens looking at Noah Dobson?
No, I have not spent any time looking at Noah Dobson.
I didn't
Dobson
think so. Why is
but
that?
But it's interesting. I think that's very interesting if you say Noah Dobson, what does he have left on his deal?
He's an RFA.
He's an RFA, so he'll sign. Look, there's not a lot of defensemen in the market to say you can
let
add
alone
it's
right shot
your,
defensemen yes, who have produced over
Aaron
70
Eklad.
Points. Right. Yeah. But that's the thing. Like, Dobson had the worst case scenario, which was not a great year heading into free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how damaged he is by that. So,
well, the big thing is the Islanders have the number one overall pick, and
correct.
They're going to draft a really high-end defenseman.
Correct.
That would fit perfect with Noah Dobson. So are the New York Islanders going to say, hey, you know what, let's move the guy that we think can play with a number one overall pick moving forward? I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, Noah Dobson is, as you said, an RFA. Maybe he says, I want to go somewhere else. Maybe I don't like where this is going. There's an interesting dynamic with the Islanders going on right now. Darsh comes in, GM. Patrick Roy is the coach. We've talked about Pete DeBoer is available. What are the destinations Pete DeBoer could find himself by Thanksgiving next year? Nashville, New York Islanders, L.A. Like, there's an interesting dynamic there. If you're Noah Dobson, you say, I don't know who's the coach is going to be in a year from now. I want to go somewhere else. You can make that work. Like, again, that should be all agent-driven. Noah Dobson agent should put that out there, saying, hey, he wants to be traded. So now all of a sudden, you're generating that buzz, right? Just like we're hearing Paterka and Byram and everything, agent-driven.
Marty's best and worst of the weekend, straight ahead.
I need your best and worst, too.
Maybe. We might have time for it on Sabres Live.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I feel like today was particularly high on off-air consumption. Now, I don't want you to interpret that in the wrong manner. It just seems like
I'm only drinking water. I'm only, but
right.
It will change
and
when I
who
get
who else
the
is drinking course. Anything but water in a week like this? Like, add some electrolytes when you can, but honestly.
I did.
Okay,
I have this bottle of water, and it has a liquid IV in it, so yes, I'm all good.
We're ingesting a lot of information was what the genesis of that comment was.
Yes.
How about divulge a little more from your standpoint, best and worst of the weekend?
Okay, so I'm going to start with the best. The best is Keegan Bradley winning the Travelers, and the Oklahoma City Thunder winning the NBA final. But it comes off the worst of the weekend. Tommy Fleetwood, like, oh, man, like the 18th. I mean, the last three holes, but really on 18. He's in the middle of fairway, and then he rushed his putt and misses his par putt, and Bradley makes the birdie. So I feel bad for Tommy Fleetwood because he's never won on the PGA Tour. He was really good all weekend, and that happens in the last three holes. But the very, very worst of the weekend was Tyrese Haliburton, right? Going in, putting up 9 points in 7 minutes. It looks like everything was maybe going to go Indiana's way. And boom, he falls, Achilles injury. You could hear him, the emotion. He's banging the court. And obviously, Oklahoma City wins. So the best of the weekend really happened because of the worst of the weekend for me. And seeing especially Halliburton's injury was just made my heart, like, it made me sick.
What's going to be your go-to club in the bag today?
The putter.
Oh, yeah? That's a bold and confident statement for someone who doesn't play very often.
Maybe that's because the other ones won't be good.
On that note, see you tomorrow on Sabres Live.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.